The University of Kansas Health System is proud to be the official healthcare provider of the Kansas City Current. From youth athletes to the pros, we put player care first to turn their dreams into reality. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/kccurrent.
All right, tell me who this is. I don't know.
Well, this is the Rainmakers, because I misidentified that before. Mississippi River going, that song, right?
No.
It's another one.
That's a song called Downstream. This is Let My People Go.
They all sound kind of the same. It's all music. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. Football is music to the ears of the man we have in studio now. Stan Weber joins us.
We just had a two-minute conversation with Stan about what his next 4 days
are like. He just ran down his schedule for the past week going through this weekend.
He got too many folders. Which folder? You got a basketball folder
straight?
Out? You got a football folder out?
I just got football because basketball. The last 2 days.
You got a Tower Properties folder out. What do you got?
All right, so I'm gonna pick up on the cues here. Let's focus on that then. Let's go. We want to start college or pro? Where do we want to start here today, boys?
That's odd. Well, I don't know, Todd. I know you got the big game, Oklahoma State, but the big game was last week, Dallas Cowboys, and I thought the Dallas Cowboys would start the NFL.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's do that.
I don't want to choose for you.
No, that's what I was offering.
You're gonna have a Texas Thanksgiving.
Yes.
You're gonna watch the Cowboys not in person, but you might as well be if you're down in, deep in the heart.
I could. You never know. It could call an audible and. Roll on in. I'll be right there at the right time.
With what you just told me about what you got coming up, you don't need to go to that game. You need to drive straight to Austin and be done. You don't need that little extra 8 hours.
K-State plays at 11 o'clock on Friday. So I've always thought the Friday after Thanksgiving is just bonus. It's because Oklahoma, Nebraska set the tone for me that no matter what the season had in store, you knew that would be the biggest game on Friday after Thanksgiving. And what the heck do you get a chance to watch football in that big a game? I understand Thanksgiving football, pretty easy. Saturday, Sunday, every week, a little Monday night football. Mm-hmm. But Friday? And so whenever your team gets a chance to be a part of it, last year Texas played Iowa State.
Right.
And I remember turning on the TV and thinking it was the biggest game in the world. In Arkansas, Missouri, doesn't matter what the records are, it's like, hey, we got a chance to watch football
game.
On Friday. We're supposed to be working right now for those of us that don't have to, or those that do, you sneak over there and watch a little football. K-State's doing that at 11 o'clock on Friday in Austin against Texas. But last Saturday, I thought that was, from a national perspective, not even just from a local, from a national perspective, I thought that was the second most exciting game of the year to the world. The most exciting, obviously, was Tom Brady, Tampa Bay at New England against Belichick. Mm-hmm. That was, one every 10 years type of game. But after that, the excitement level to see the Dallas Cowboys and the Kansas City Chiefs play in Arrowhead happens once every 8 years. So the hype was just outrageous going into the game. So I think that's a good place to start. And with the Chiefs playing poetically, I mean, just playing great football across the board, the excitement level now as we get to Thanksgiving week and a bye week for the Chiefs is off the charts. So it's a lot of fun to see everybody excited again.
We won't talk too much about that one, but let's talk about it a little bit. You watch the Cowboys as much as anyone around here. Now, they didn't have everybody, right? Amari Cooper's out. He's going to be out on Thursday. CeeDee Lamb got hurt at the very end of the half. They didn't have their left tackle. But even with all of those things, did you see the Chiefs' defense holding that team? Forget about not getting a touchdown, not even really getting close to scoring a touchdown. Did you think the Chiefs' defense was playing that well? What did they show you on Sunday?
No, they did everything they possibly could. Chris Jones came with an energy that was outrageous, and they played him at defensive tackle. That's a good place to start. The game, it's a little bit hard for me to put too much weight on it because I've been calling that game out for over a month, and no one, everyone was so worried about where the Chiefs were, and I said, Chiefs make the playoffs. I mean, after they lost to Buffalo, I said, they're fine. After they lost to Tennessee, I said, they're fine. They're going to make the playoffs. I don't know if they win the division or not because I think the Chargers have a game over them and beat them at home, and they were struggling. The defense was bad. Patrick Mahomes was not playing as well as he normally does. But I knew the defense would – a regression to the mean. It's statistics. They are not the 32nd or 30th worst defense. No chance. They're going to come back. Now, I didn't think they're going to be great, maybe 20th best in the NFL, and they played better than that. But I said all along when I got ready to play Green Bay, Raiders, Cowboys, everyone acted like this is a mountain you could, oh boy, this is going to be hard to climb. And I just wrote down Cowboys. They're going to beat the Cowboys, guaranteed, no doubt about it. And I thought they were going to beat Green Bay, and I still think they would have beat Green Bay if Aaron Rodgers were there. Okay. I do. That defense would have ramped it up. Patrick, they would have done what they need to. They're excited. When Green Bay walks into town with Aaron Rodgers, the Chiefs will play to another level. This last game, I've been more positive about the Chiefs than anybody a month ago, by far. And right now I'm going to be pulling the pendulum back a little bit. Hold your horses a little. They just whipped the Dallas Cowboys. Okay, two things about that. One, the Chiefs are NFL players who show up and do their job kind of in a monotone mentality, right? Doesn't matter where they are, home or road, they play ball. But they don't get that excited. I mean, they're pros. That's not what it's about. It's not about the emotion. But when the Cowboys walk into town, I'll tell you what, emotions start firing. Chris Jones will not play that way again the rest of this year. He was unstoppable. 3.5 should have been 4 sacks. Mm-hmm. So they played out of their minds against the Cowboys, which I knew they would. And the Cowboys are very willing to lay down. First of all, the Cowboys are a solid 9-8 team. People right. don't realize this. They're not a dominant team. They're a 9-8 team who had a little run and played well. They'll cycle back down. But here's the easiest way for Chiefs fans to understand it, because they're not going to want to hear. It's funny, I'm the bad guy this week. Like, oh, Stan's trying to pull down the Chiefs. When I was the one who built them up by far times 10.
Yep.
10 times more than anybody else.
Even more than Steven?
Way more than Steven. A buddy of mine who, off the air, who's very serious, loves sports radio, knows sports like you cannot believe. He came in and said, what are the Chiefs' chances of making the playoffs this year? And this was right after they lost to Tennessee, right afterwards, next day. I said, 85% chance they're in the playoffs. He's like, I think you overstated this one finally, Stan, because he trusts what I said. But I'm going to be the bad guy and say, look at this simple example. Did you watch the Denver Broncos play the Dallas Cowboys?
Yeah.
Did you watch the – did you – a lot of people didn't.
Yeah, they had to shut out for three quarters, right?
They dominated Dallas
as
much as the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So let's go down a couple of things. Cowboys aren't that good. Dak Prescott is off. Since the calf injury, early in the year, he hit every pass. He was on fire, and he was as good as any quarterback in the NFL.
Boy, when he missed that shot on the first drive of the game.
Ball game.
Because
if he hits that thing, Cowboys might beat the Chiefs. They would have shocked the system, because the Chiefs wanted to press the line of scrimmage, don't allow him to run. They wanted to force. They thought these backup receivers aren't going to be good enough, you know. But we shouldn't even be talking about backup receivers, because everybody has injuries in the NFL. Yeah. It's just normal. But if he had a hit, that's a shot he normally just drops in. Like,
I mean,
he's handing the
ball
off.
He fell down. You know, all you got to do is
first play of the game.
Just don't overthrow him.
Boom.
You know,
he overthrows him. Then the third down play, you have a backup who drops a pass over the middle. You know, normally they catch that one. It's a first down.
You punt. You know, there you go.
And then Dak Prescott hasn't been hit from behind and fumbled all year on the second possession. But the left tackle didn't even move.
No.
The ball was snapped, and the crowd was loud enough that he said, point is, before you give the Chiefs too much credit, go watch the Denver Broncos game. And if you come back and tell me, I think Denver's a dominant team. I think Denver's, watch out, I'm not so worried about the Chargers. I'm worried about the Broncos. Okay? When you tell me that you're worried about the Broncos, then I'm going to give the Chiefs all the credit, because Denver doesn't deserve the credit they did for smashing the Cowboys two games before.
At their place.
And see, Dak is off. He's not throwing the ball accurately. He's not looking to run. That's fine, because he was injured bad and they need him to throw it. But when Dak is off, the Cowboys aren't that good. Their defense is not very good. So my point is, before we build the Chiefs up too high, let's just go back and watch the Denver game and then come back and talk to me. If you can't give the Denver Broncos credit, then don't give the Chiefs too much credit. But are the Chiefs back and are they good and there are a lot of reasons to be excited? Yes, absolutely.
I think, you know, it's the old adage you always hear from athletes that you're never as good as you feel like you are on your best day, and you're never as bad as you feel like you are on your worst day. You're somewhere in the middle. That's probably true with the Chiefs. I think that's all fair. I want to go back to what you had to say about Chris Jones and the energy he brought, and him playing a defensive tackle, because I thought he said something that was really interesting after the game, and I'm paraphrasing, but look, he clearly likes to play some defensive end, and maybe he's just angling for it here, so I'll offer that up. But he said he believes that the fact that he's playing some defensive end makes his job easier when he plays defensive tackle, because the other team doesn't know where he's going to be and they can't scheme up double team blocks for him as often because they're not sure when they break the huddle where he's going to be lined up. And that gets him some more one-on-one situations, and that gets him the ability to do that. Do you buy that, or is that just him angling for the ability to play more defensive end?
Can I add another quote to help answer my position? He also said, talking about playing inside or outside, boy, you don't get beat up nearly as much when you're on the outside. I'm talking about bruise and accumulation.
Right.
You know, you talk to guys like Tim Grunhardt, the bruises start. And at the beginning of training camp, when you first hit, you barely can move your arm, like if there's a little bruise. By the end of the year, your arm can be purple and you don't even feel it. You just get used to it, but you wear down. Mm-hmm. So I think, no, I do not believe what he said in that context, but the fact that he might be fresher at this point in the year, more excited, less beat up, because when you're in there and you're the focal point, okay, you know, they say, 53 is a mic. Mm-hmm. Well, really, without saying it, they're going, Chris Jones is a defensive tackle, and the center and the guard and the running back and maybe the tackle are all going, okay, we got to really be ready. And a quarterback's going, I'm going to have to throw the ball quick. I may want to oddwise. I mean, it affects everything. So he gets hit by, what, 2, 3, 4 guys, mm-hmm. and they make a wall and beat on you, and then you got those guys chopping. At defensive end, it's just you and you're dancing out there with a tackle. You know, some of the greatest athletes in the world that weigh 300 pounds are dancing at full. It's amazing what
they
do. You
may get a little chip from a back or something like that coming around.
But you don't. After the game's over, you add up the bruises and how beat up you are. He's way more fresh.
Well, I think one of the things that impressed me really about him was he was dominating the game inside, whatever. And then late in the game was it was over, but Cowboys still had hope because if they'd have gone down and scored, onside kick, all that stuff. And that was a lot of plays on a drive. And you start getting tired when you're getting beat up like that. And sure enough, I was watching him specifically. I'm like, is he going to wreck this game? And he was, you know, sometimes you take, quote unquote, take a playoff a little bit. You're not going 1,000% right up the middle. And about the time he's like, all right, I'm not going to, like, really go in there and try to rush, he gets his hands up at the exact right spot, tips the ball game over. He is huge. I mean, he's a big guy. And he's good at that part of it, too. He's good at, like, this play, but you can still be in this play from 9 yards away from the quarterback.
He's just so long. He has the athletic ability to time it out.
He's always got his eyes looking.
But
then he
blows stuff up. When a play starts, you know, like we talk about, sometimes it's in slow motion to me, and there's different things I may want to watch. But a Chiefs defensive play when he's in, the first thing to watch when the ball snapped is just see what kind of push he gets. Because you can't, let's don't say he takes any plays off. I'm not promoting that. But sometimes he just decides, here we go.
Right.
He's like a freight train, and you see the guard in the center just going backwards, and you go, he cuts right between them. He'll knock the ball down, but it blows the play up.
And when he jumps the snap count, too, like when they really get on the cadence,
there's only
everything
16.
Was silent last week. It was like, you know, the right guard would put his hand out. That's the silent count. Then you just, one, go, you know.
Yeah, there's like 65 plays a game, and he blows up. Give me five. Will you give me five?
Yeah. Probably at least.
Yeah.
I mean, statistically, I mean, analytics are so crazy, it almost takes away the romanticism of some of these things. Because, you know, there's only 65 plays in a game. Like, sometimes I'm at half of a game, I go, there's only been 27 plays. Like, it seemed like it's a fun hour and a half. Mm-hmm. But there's really only 20. You know, football, like I'm it's like watching a soccer game or something. They're huddling up over here.
Because you get kickoffs and special teams plays. Those don't count as real plays.
So anyway, I'll just start with this. That's a pretty big percentage. At defensive tackle, he'll blow up 5 plays a game, in my opinion. And that's where the defense just gets so much better. When he dominates.
We will take a break. We've got Stan Weber in studio. Back after this with more on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I know who this is. G-Love, Special Sauce. There we go.
I saw G-Love and Special Sauce at the Grand Emporium years ago. Very good.
Oh, that reminds me. I'm supposed to let everybody know. Don't forget, you can go see the Accidental Moguls
tonight.
And Dola White tonight.
Tonight at the Uptown.
At the Uptown Theater. Get your tickets. Get your tickets. I got my ticket. I've got my field painting to do today. That's my big thing. And I got to brine a turkey. Have you ever brined a turkey?
I have brined a turkey. This year I don't have to brine the turkey because my parents are cooking the turkey. We're in charge of, when I say we, my wife's going to cook some dressing or stuffing or whatever.
Yeah.
And some
you're
rolls.
You're not helping out. You're not contributing.
I'll do whatever. I mean, if she wants some help, we'll do that tomorrow. But I did Thanksgiving at my house a couple of times, but now my parents have taken it back.
Yeah.
So my dad's, I don't know if he's brining or what he's doing. I don't know.
It's obnoxious. It's obnoxious how much I love Thanksgiving. I think it annoys everyone around me and I don't care. And the football field, my son is going to have to help me.
Have you started preparation? You're making the Kluskis?
Kluskis will be made on Thanksgiving Day. You don't make those ahead of time. They don't reheat well. You gotta eat them fresh.
Fresh.
My wife's making 2 pies and roasting a turkey. I am smoking a turkey breast on my Weber. outside. And then I think everybody else is bringing the rest of the
food. So Stan's going to Austin because he's got the big game Friday with K-State facing the red-hot Texas Longhorns. You're going to put a fork in Sarkisian down there? Maybe? I'm just kidding. I don't want to be like that. But you're going to your buddy's house, and you're traveling. You're out of town. You're responsible for nothing. You just show up. You're going to bring a bottle of wine or something. What do you got to do?
No, we asked if we could bring something, and it's very limited when you got to travel as much as we do because we'll put in probably 5 hours or more of driving on Thanksgiving Day just to get there.
Yeah, all the way to Austin. Austin's far.
It's way past Dallas.
Yeah.
If you haven't done it, no need to do it. Fly down there, okay? Everyone's saying, why isn't he flying? Well, because my wife wants to watch my son play. My daughter's in town.
A lot of things.
So they want to watch Landry play. And so I say, you know, hey, I'll drive. Plus, we got used to it with COVID last year. We didn't go with the team last year.
Get that quality time in the car.
It'll be great. No, great. It's great time, but it's... Yes, my buddy who
someone can hold the iPad so you can watch other games.
I went to
driving.
High school with Larry Ercik, and then he went on and became an architect at K-State, and he was my roommate all 5 years that I was there. And so every time that we go down there, usually he comes over to the hotel and gives Wyatt and me a ride to the basketball arena. You know, that's when we usually see him, not in football season. But this time, I'm going to get introduced to his wife. I've met some of his kids, but I'm going to meet all of his kids, his brother, his sister, who I grew up with. It's going to be a big party there, and they're allowing us to come.
That's awesome.
So I said, what can we bring? And we were very limited, but I don't like turkey. So we eat ham.
Daniel eats beef, you know.
Oh, eat ham, pork and beef. But we eat ham, and so we're going to bring ham, a big ham down there.
Are you bringing
a
ham from here? Where are you finding this ham,
Stan? I think my wife has purchased the ham here, and we're going to keep it in a proper temperature all the way. To Thanksgiving
This is a
Day.
Project. You're bringing the ham? Are they going to have turkey
pies.
As well?
Oh, they got... They're turkey. Taking... Okay. Well, he's taking care of all... They don't need us to bring any food. Okay. Because it's... They
but
have their own...
Giant. Yeah.
I said, we need to bring something. He goes, how about desserts? You know how that goes. Yeah, sure, we'll do that. How about pies? We'll do that. Great. And then I said, do you have just turkey there?
Hey,
and being a nice guy...
You know, Stan
nice
doesn't eat fowl. We know this.
So, and he said, oh, yeah. And I go, well, maybe
can I
bring
a ham for myself?
And he goes, we normally bring ham. We normally do ham also. We just weren't planning on it. That'll be great. So it's going to be so much fun.
So you're traveling from here with your wife with a ham.
Yes.
You guys are loading up the Cadillac with a ham.
Well, not a Cadillac. We're going to drive our van.
Oh, you're driving a van.
A lot of move. Yeah.
Oh, you got a lot of stuff.
A lot of stuff. And anyway... No, we're gonna buy, you know, the best ham in the world that you can get, and then we're gonna take care of it until we get there.
That's great.
That's gonna be fun. You're having fun.
It's really gonna be fun because I heard some people at my office just joking about, or really not, about how they're not looking forward to Thanksgiving because the people who get invited, they don't choose. They don't necessarily enjoy being around. So they're like, Thanksgiving's gonna come about 9 o'clock at night when everyone leaves.
Yeah.
And I thought, I'm more like Nate. I think the day's great. I love it, and I'm very positive about Thanksgiving for so many reasons. But this one, it's really weird that I'm going to someone's house and really with most of the people I've never met before. That's such a wild card. And when I want to watch football, and I do not want to be distracted by too much other stuff.
You'll have all your...
I'm going, this sounds like one of those movies where not so good. But Larry Ercik, I'm telling you, he and I get along so well that when I called him and tried to make some plans, like, well, what time do you want to eat? Because I will be there at whatever time your Thanksgiving time is. When he said, well, it doesn't really matter. What do you think? And I gave him a time. He goes, that's exactly what I was thinking. We had three or four different things down the line.
So your
line.
Time is,
like
he said, before the Cowboys game is your time to eat?
Oh, they are all giant Cowboy fans.
So they want to be done eating by 3:30?
Right, so I need to be there. I'm landing there at his home in Austin between 12:30 and 1 o'clock. I gave myself a half hour window, so I can't say for sure. Guess what he said? Oh, we're so relaxed. We don't care. I mean, whatever time. How many families are like that? When people work on Thanksgiving, they're like, you better be here at 1 o'clock because I'm trying to serve 20 people. You don't know how hard this is. And Larry Ercik is like, just like the...
You're
going to
have a full belly
so well
of ham
outside.
By kickoff.
We're going to be settled in to watch the Cowboys.
Do you understand
game.
What's... These are all Cowboys fans, probably.
Yeah, I
and
think
Larry
so.
Is a K-Stater.
Total
but
K-State
are there going to be some Longhorns there as well? How's this going to operate? There's got to be some Longhorns if they're in Austin.
No, their Longhorn appreciation is it's a pro team. That's what it is in town. It's not a passionate
their
pro team.
Their pro team is going to miss the playoffs this year, it looks like.
Exactly. They're not going to a bowl game. That's what Todd. They cannot get to 6 wins.
They'd be facing relegation if it was
a soccer.
Larry had 2 to 4 season tickets for Texas basketball just because he had children growing up,
right,
and he would take them to the game. But
fun.
When they'd come over and say hi to us, the passion level wasn't there. Larry was rooting for K-State, and his kids are like, we like K-State because my dad tells us about it,
yeah.
And we've been there a little bit. But mostly they live in Austin, Texas, so you know they have a Texas Longhorn jersey. So it's not passionate Texas at all.
That seems
But their kids
typical.
Grew up there. But they are, you know, I said, when we talked about this, I was really tentative because I'm going, I'm just not going over to someone's house to be nice. I'm not nice on
Stan wants
day.
To watch,
I wanna watch
the football game.
The football
are you
game.
Guys going to cowboy up with me? Or are you going
to? Well, I just said,
how
house going? He goes, oh, our house, we love the Cowboys. And I go, I think we can come over.
Yeah. Just don't talk to me when the game's on, okay? Here's the deal.
I'd rather they not.
I will admit that since I've taken on the...
Because I have to get on radio shows like this with Drake, you know, looking at me saying, do you really know what's going on?
What happened
did you analyze?
Game?
Did you?
Yeah.
I can't just be jacking around talking about, well, what do you think about this?
Yeah. I will admit, so like when I was a kid, the reason I loved Thanksgiving so much, my Uncle Andy threw the greatest Thanksgiving parties in the history of the world. And I camped out in front of the TV and ate food and watched football all day. And then we went out across the street and played a huge family football game. And I'm like, this is the greatest day in the world. And now, since I've taken on the responsibility of hosting it, I don't watch nearly as much football on Thanksgiving Day because I'm running around cooking food and everything.
That's the thing is the party is awesome.
Yeah.
Just substitute Super Bowl. Thanksgiving and Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Okay, because
the
Super Bowl parties I hear people having, I'm so tempted to say I wish I could go to your party and your party and your
but
party.
But you want to watch the game.
But when the game's over, I go, I sat alone more lonely than any day of my life. I am the, you know, my wife doesn't care, and I'm sitting there watching the game by myself with complete intention, and it doesn't matter if it's the Chiefs or not.
Yeah.
It's so weird that I get boxed in. I go, I do not want to go to a party and end up missing, you know, half of that drive and a little bit of that. And then someone gets into a conversation and really needs, hey, Stan, I know you really want to watch the game, but, you know, really, what's Landry going to do next year? Is he going to, you know, we're so excited
Let's
for
talk
him.
Talk about that at halftime. But no, I got to watch halftime. No, I don't want to watch halftime.
There's a scenario out there that I want to explore with Stan about college football. There are a lot of scenarios. We're going to switch to college football at the top of the hour. We do need a break.
We're high on the Chiefs, end of story.
There you go.
Chargers are still a threat.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I never believed in Buffalo. I'm not trying to bash you,
hey,
but I've said
hey.
Publicly.
Fair enough.
It's not over. They could turn around. I just said, I can't trust Buffalo.
And I agree with you. That's the weirdest thing.
The sneaky Patriots are the ones who are
I trust Belichick.
I almost wonder if we need to root against the Patriots this weekend.
You need to root against the Patriots.
No, let them beat the Titans, and then start
I think
losing.
The Titans' losses might need to come elsewhere.
You want the number one seed.
Yep. All right, we'll take a break. We'll talk about all that coming up. We've got Stan Weber studio. It's Thanksgiving Eve on Sports Radio 810. I want to say thank you to my mom for listening to the show. I believe she's on her way up from Ark City, Kansas right now to join us for our Thanksgiving. And she
bringing the ham?
Happy Thanksgiving, Mom.
Yeah, she pointed out to me that while I said my Uncle Andy threw an amazing Thanksgiving, you know your Aunt Barbie did a lot of work on those as well. And I will say that the smell in the kitchen when Aunt Barbie was putting Thanksgiving together was one of the most happy memories of my life. Aunt Barbie, tremendous. Okay.
Now, why would you try to slight Aunt Barbie?
I would never dream of doing such a thing.
But you just did.
I know. I did it. I feel terrible about that.
By the way, I think you don't do this all yourself at home. Maybe you get a little help from Kelly.
That goes across the board for everything.
Okay.
We all understand how far above my station I married. So, yeah, I'm out there painting the field. She's going to bake a cherry pie and a pumpkin pie from scratch using her grandma's recipe that she learned on a farm in Johnson, Kansas.
Would she like to make some extra so I can take them to Austin?
Dude, I tell you what, I've told her, if you want to make some serious, I mean, the thing is, though, those pies take so much time to make.
Yeah.
You know, because she could sell those things for a pretty penny, but it just they're so labor intensive. They're delicious though, and I also got some homemade povetitza bread being delivered to me right here after the show today, which is that's another story.
Povetitza includes kluskis.
Right. Povetitza. You ever had povetitza kluskis and Polish sausage on Thanksgiving, Stan?
Probably.
That's what happens at my house.
I'm sure you've had some Povetitza here, though. I mean, we get around the station.
But because we don't have ham, but we do have Polish sausage and sauerkraut as our secondary meat.
How about that smell of the kitchen? The sauerkraut smell. So good.
You either love sauerkraut or you hate it.
Or the smell is just delicious.
I love it. So, all right, Stan, I have a scenario for you. If I have this right, you're the tiebreaker guy around here, Todd, so you tell me if I'm wrong about this. And tell me how far-fetched this is. K-State plays Texas at 11 o'clock on Friday. Stan pointed out to me that Texas is a favorite. I find that mind-blowing. I find that absolutely absurd. But Stan might tell me why that's wrong. But it's only three-point fave for Texas. So K-State beats Texas a lot in sports. So K-State wins that game. Does Kansas take the field on Saturday night at the booth with the chance to finish above Texas in the Big 12 standings?
It would be correct because they would be tied with two losses.
They both would have two losses and they'd have head-to-head, right?
Yeah, two wins, they'd have a head-to-head. Yeah, that's absolutely correct. Yeah.
And now, look, KU is, I'm looking at ESPN, says 15.5-point underdog, but they were 21-point underdogs at TCU last weekend, and they came down to a last-second field goal.
I think they were even a bigger underdog in Austin, perhaps, and they won that game. I don't know.
So how, I mean, look, obviously it would be two upsets taking place, but how far-fetched of a scenario is it for me as a KU fan to dream that the Jayhawks could finish out of the cellar in football this year?
Well, mathematically, you're getting down to, what, 10 or 15% chance, but reality, you know, it's up to Texas. Do they want to play to their best ability? If they are excited and play to their best ability, you can go back and watch the tape of the Oklahoma game or the games right before that where they scored 70 points and didn't punt for...
Against Tech, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they have all the capability in the world because, you know, for instance, they don't tackle very well. All it takes is a little energy, and suddenly they have the capability of tackling. They're there. You know, it's a one-yard gain, but the guy slips, you know, dives down to your ankle. You step over him, and you make five more yards. And the next guy doesn't wrap up and kind of throws his body lightly into you, and you bounce off him and make three more yards. That's what football's been for Texas. What happens if the first guy just decides to tackle you? You know, they're big. They look good. So who knows what Texas will do. But, yes, you got a 50-50 type ball game there. K-State has not won in Austin since 2011. Been a lot of close games, but... And Cats have not beaten Texas for a while. But, yes, obviously K-State
can win. Bijan Robinson for Texas. That's a big deal. Last year, he ran wild in Manhattan. I mean, he's great.
He's probably the best running back in all of college football, and he's big and strong, and it's just – he's like Earl Campbell used to be. I should have said that. And Earl Campbell's
– he's faster than Earl Campbell, but he's not as strong.
He's big and strong.
Big and strong guy.
He ran – when he ran against K-State last year, they put up 700 yards of offense against K-State to finish off the year. So the connotations matter, matchups. But who cares? That's an even game. The thing that you can buy into is KU playing legitimate football. And I was hinting at that earlier in the year, basically right before the Oklahoma game and then definitely at the Oklahoma game. But no one wanted to buy into that. They just said it's all about the Sooners not trying or something. But they've just played solid football. And the quarterback, Jalen Daniels, is a real deal. He played a lot last year. Devin Neal's a real deal at running back. But the coaches just do a great job of scheming things up, limiting the game time. They huddle forever, just like you should. Play as few plays as possible. And don't make penalties. Don't make turnovers. And you give yourself a chance. Plus, they're excited at playing right now.
Motivation will be big in this game. We know Kansas is motivated. They want to finish strong. They want to do those things. West Virginia...
they can be bowl eligible.
...needs this to go to a bowl. So if the guys want the swag bag and all that stuff, and they haven't checked out on Neil Brown or anything because they fought last week and they beat Texas, right? That was big for them at home. They're going to come to Lawrence saying we need to beat the Jayhawks to get bowl eligible. By the way, there's no sneaking up on anyone for the Jayhawks now since they barely lost last week. They beat Texas. They battled Oklahoma for, you know, four quarters, 3 7/8 quarters, whatever you want to call it. So West Virginia is going to come in here motivated, but West Virginia's just they're okay. They're not some great team. There's not a
it's
lot
a
of
hard place to play.
There's the only thing that's probably great in the Big 12 is Oklahoma State's defense.
Yes.
That's probably the only greatness there is in the Big 12. And they've proven that all year. Nobody has solved them and gone out and scored like 35 points on Oklahoma State's defense. That's the only thing in this league that's great, besides like Bijan Robinson or something.
But the parity is unbelievable because the top, the elite part of the Big 12, we've said it all year long, even when Oklahoma was undefeated, and Oklahoma State was winning games, it's just not nearly as good as it normally is. Compared to normal years, there's no icing on top of the cake. And in Kansas, I thought was better than people believe. Now I think we can all believe that if they play fill in the blank, TCU, Texas Tech, West Virginia, there's going to be a football game. If they play Texas right now in Austin, if they were going instead at K-State, you'd say, oh, they're not going to sneak up on Texas anymore. Guess what? Turn in a third quarter, it's going to be a close game. They can compete. You know, they have a legitimate football team with a legitimate strategy, and there's a confidence and a belief now that they can play. So now the pack, it's just unbelievable, like a peloton of bicycles or something. If KU's not that bad, and I feel very comfortable that everyone will join me now in believing that, move them up. Texas Tech is not as bad as everyone thought. I mean, Matt Wells got run out of there, but they're bowl eligible right now. Texas Tech's legitimate. When Texas Tech versus whoever is a legitimate game, I'm telling you, it is. So there's very little difference from top to bottom right now in the Big 12. It is just
The records
everywhere
may show some difference, but not what you see on the field is not showing you all that much difference.
Yeah, exactly.
Wouldn't just about everybody love to see Texas finish in last place?
Oh, it'd be hilarious.
Well, here's the funny one, and this is, you asked, was it 2 weeks ago or last week where you started going, you know, you and Todd ever not get along? They were trying to, you know, bait into that conversation. I was like, no, Todd and I get along just fine. Every day, all the time, doesn't matter what the rivalries are. So this isn't anything about poking Todd Lebo. But what would be hilarious to many fans around this part of the world that aren't happy with Texas and Oklahoma saying they want to go to the SEC is it's pretty easy to make a quick scenario where Oklahoma's not in the championship game in the Big 12.
All that is going to be – that's
if
going
Baylor
to be,
wins
Baylor's
and
a,
Oklahoma State wins.
Baylor's a two-touchdown favorite. They're playing at home. And I think Tech is a legitimate team. But Baylor is playing very well right now.
Yeah, Baylor should win that
if
game.
If they win that game at 11 o'clock in the morning, and then the Pokes, who are favored, beat the Sooners, which is
which
entirely
never happens.
No, it
even
happens.
In Stillwater.
It happens. But then that's it. Then Oklahoma's
Oklahoma
out.
Gets tiebreakered out by Baylor. That's a quick thing to – Oklahoma yeah. State's in because they won the game. But you think, oh, well, rematch next week. And I don't like the rematch. You know, that I don't like that.
Once
but how
champion,
about
twice?
You need it because you need to win the ball game. But Baylor tie breaks Oklahoma out. So how about a championship game the year they say we're going to the SEC?
No Sooners.
Texas no Longhorns
place.
In the Big 12 championship game. That is unbelievable.
Well, I'll say this: not having a Longhorns in the Big 12 championship game is not an upset. They've only been in it one time.
Well, but they were. But normally they would think that they
yes.
would. They were
them finishing in last. Either way, they're going to be second to last at worst. And with a loss to Texas. So that's where Texas football is this year. So I think that would be great for the remaining Big 12 teams. And what if Cincinnati, who's coming into the Big 12, ends up making the playoff? Now, what if they don't make the playoff because Houston, who's coming into the Big 12, beats them in their championship game? There's a lot of good things happening for the Big 12 in that regard, which I think is pretty cool. I do think, as I mentioned, Oklahoma State's defense is incredible. They have the most points they've allowed this year is 24. It's 2021 in the Big 12, and the most points they've allowed in a game is 24, and they lost 24-21 to Iowa State in a game that I thought they sort of got jobbed at the end with a spot, and they couldn't review where the spot was or whatever. Maybe they wouldn't have won or whatever, right? That was the game. Remember the horrible taunting call on Iowa State? They ended up scoring, I think. It was no big deal, but so that's all they've lost. They lost a 3-point game to Iowa State. Now,
but wait a second. I thought the refs were trying to help Iowa State win.
Well, that's just in Lubbock.
Oh, okay.
But
they're talking
Oklahoma
about the radio
State.
Announcers who people don't even know what you're talking
no,
about.
No, we played this sound.
Okay,
we played
the
sound a bunch.
If you don't know, the Texas Tech play-by-play and color commentators got
suspended
for a game because they basically said that
I'm not trying to recap what they said, but just that they got suspended for one game.
Yeah. But Oklahoma,
that's the first time I've ever heard of that, by the way. I don't remember that ever happening.
Oklahoma State are very similar because we talked about they're both 10-1 or whatever the record is. But Oklahoma State, I mean, they barely beat Missouri State week one. They barely beat Tulsa. And they've had some, you know, they
Boise
crushed
State,
Kansas.
They got the official call saved the day for them or they lose.
Yeah.
A fumble picked up, went for a touchdown, but they said, ball
the
carrier down.
One of those
but then he reviewed
fix.
It, yeah. Said ball carrier wasn't down. Yes, Boise, you get the ball, but you don't get the return. That's the way it works.
But Oklahoma State has gotten better, and they haven't really been scared in a bit, right? So they've gotten better as they've gone on. Oklahoma has barely won many games. I mean, Tulane, Nebraska, Kansas, K-State.
West Virginia.
I mean, all these things. Iowa State, you know, they've barely won a lot of them. But what they've both shown is they will win these close games. Right, so that's why this bedlam is going to be pretty wild to see what happens. Now, the shame of it for me, I guess, would be, let's say Baylor wins, and then, so if they win, and then Oklahoma beats Oklahoma State, Baylor's toast, and then it's a rematch.
Yeah, it's a rematch.
Then it's a rematch.
If Oklahoma wins, it's a rematch.
It's a rematch. So, you know, I guess Oklahoma, the good news is for Oklahoma State, they've made a title game. First time ever. They've never been in a Big 12 title game. Now, they won the Big 12 when they didn't have a title game, but that would be great for them. They'll be super excited to be in that game. They would much rather not play Oklahoma twice. I promise you that.
Well, who would?
They don't want to do that.
It takes
that.
Away a lot from the game, when especially when they played the last week.
Well, they moved this game out of the last part of the year for a while because they thought, we don't want to have a rematch. But then the teams weren't going to be the rematch anyways. And now the year that it's back here, it could be a rematch. But I honestly feel like Oklahoma State's going to win the game. I do. I don't think Oklahoma's got it going right now. But I also understand, you talked to Corey and Mick. They went to Oklahoma.
Or they're scared
Mick
to death
to Oklahoma State. They hate this game because
it's everything to lose and nothing to
gain.
Don't,
they don't win the game, and they're favored. And this will be the day that, you know, Caleb Williams actually throws the ball in the first 4 seconds of being in the pocket and something happens or the ball bounces Oklahoma's way or whatever. But Oklahoma State's defense is legit and elite and awesome.
You're going to be laughing when OU wins. If OU wins.
Well, I'll laugh. I think it would be great.
It just
happens
all
the
time. I just know the history too much. I do believe in Mike Gundy. I believe in Oklahoma State. But I do matchups, intimidation, you know, things like wearing the same uniforms and letting the other team get the connotations like something bad's going to happen to you. When Oklahoma State runs out on the field and sees Oklahoma warming up down there, I'm telling you, it creates a nervousness, a lack of confidence.
It's a weird
thing. What's going to happen today? All those feelings just overwhelm you. It's not an accident that Oklahoma goes down there and beats them all the
They've
time.
They've played 100, I think it's 125 games. There have been seven ties, I'll give you that. So what is the win-loss record of the other 108 games? Whatever it is,
80 to 27.
90 to 18. So that's insane in that rivalry. And that's some pretty good success
wow.
in the last 25 years.
But you can even cut
years.
It down to more specific, because it's a joke to compare Oklahoma State with Oklahoma overall, right? But when you go, Oklahoma State's got one of their really good teams, and the game's in Stillwater. I've heard this song played so much that I don't know what these songs are that Drake's playing, but I know this song where Mike Gundy and Barry Sanders and Hartley Dykes and, you know, things are set up for OSU to beat Oklahoma this time.
Well, they've really only gotten
Stillwater.
It done.
How many times have they won in Stillwater against the Sooners? It's so rare. It's unbelievable.
They won in 11. Now, Oklahoma State's team was the one that, if there was a college football playoff, they would have made the college football playoff.
They got upset against Iowa State
on that Friday night, the double overtime. They missed the kick. They crushed Oklahoma that night. That was like 40-something to 10. Oklahoma didn't score till the very end. Landry Jones did. You know, that was Brandon Weeden and all the guys.
Yeah.
They won that when that was big.
That's 11.
So they won that then.
Is that the last time they've beaten Oklahoma?
No, they won in 14. That was the time that there was a kid who played for Oklahoma State, who he plays for the Chiefs now, named Tyreek Hill, who they punted the ball twice to.
Oh, yeah, Bob Stoops.
Wow. Punted the ball twice, and they ended up doing a 92-yard punt return in a game.
He punted it to him, and then he got a penalty, and he said, let's do it again.
Let's kick it again to save this 7 seconds. And then they kicked
that's
it left.
In Norman.
They kicked it left, and they all went right, and they went 92
but that
yards.
That was in Norman.
It was in Norman. So they've only won in Stillwater. They won in 11 in Stillwater. It was a great team. That Oklahoma State team is great. And Oklahoma was just blah. And they won in Stillwater in 02. Les Miles, and that was, you know, it was a really good Oklahoma team, but not a great Oklahoma team. Mm-hmm. And OSU was fine. I mean, they were getting better. But, yeah, that's what it's been.
It's 11 and 02. Do you know even further back?
They did.
This all started.
This was the Howard Schnellenberger, John Blake.
This all started in the late 80s when Oklahoma State was geared up. With Mike Gundy was a player, they were good.
They did a good job in the 90s because Howard Schnellenberger and John Blake and all that. But once Bob Stoops got there, they've won 4 times – against Oklahoma
since 1999?
Since 99.
You beat them in 99, too?
Yeah.
Bob Stoops' first year?
First year. They shut him out. So they've won 4 times, once in each place. But Oklahoma State's been really good those times. There's not like some turd Oklahoma State teams. And listen, Oklahoma's been elite, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But even the times where Oklahoma State in 13, Oklahoma State wins the game. I think they win the league or get a piece of the league or something like that. And they're 10-point favorite. And Oklahoma's got, you know, this was Blake Bell can't play quarterback and Trevor Knight's kind of there and all this stuff. And they went down there in Stillwater and won the game by like 9 points. So the last second touchdown and then a defensive score. I mean, all these kind of things. So that's the fear that Oklahoma State fans have. I don't think they're going to win 40-something to 11 or something like that. But I think their defense is good enough with this particular Oklahoma offense that they can win the game.
If you take off the uniforms, Todd, and just let them play, OSU beats Oklahoma 8 out of 10 times. They just don't let the offense score.
Right.
Oklahoma State's offense can wait around. They know how to win. They're coached very well. Mike Gundy's calm. And they just stuff you all game long. Even if you put a good drive together, you get three first downs, and darn it, you got a punt from near 45. You know, it's just.
And by the way, Oklahoma's All-American kicker has missed three kicks in the last two games, so that's great.
But I want to summarize this for everybody who doesn't know a lot about the series, and this is how it's going to come down. It's all how Oklahoma plays. If Oklahoma plays their best, they'll beat Oklahoma State. If Caleb Williams goes off and starts striking passes and running and scrambling, OSU has one level. This is true of 30 years. They have one level. It's really good. Oklahoma's level is higher than that when they turn it on, and it seems like, unbelievably, Oklahoma State fans will be the first to tell you, there it goes. Something big happens. You know, how in the heck did that back, who's not even that great, just slip out of there and go for a 60-yard touchdown? It only happens when OU's playing Oklahoma State. So bad stuff happens to OSU.
It's
going to happen again this week if OU plays great.
Best part would be. Let's say Tech rises up and beats Baylor, and then the game doesn't matter. It's 100% a rematch. And then that's when Oklahoma loses the game in Stillwater, and then they win the game in Dallas where they pass the trophy out. That's the beautiful thing.
That seems like that's probably going to happen. That's just the way it works. We got to take a break. When we come back, we do need to talk about Missouri-Arkansas,
yes.
By the way, because that's
Battle
on Friday
lines.
As well. Battle lines drawn. And, you know, there's that coaching storyline as well in that game. We'll take a break after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I know this song's from the 90s. That's what I can tell you about this one.
That's Cracker, right?
Yes, Cracker.
With elements of Camper Van Beethoven? Is that where they came from? They broke up something?
The front man is the same, yeah.
Yeah, see? I know some things that Drake knows.
You know a lot of things. Todd knows a lot of things about a lot of things.
A little bit about a lot of things.
There you go.
That's
I like
my
that.
Goal.
I like that about you. All right, let's talk about this Friday. Looking forward to this doubleheader, really. K-State versus Texas. We touched on that. And then at 2:30 on CBS, Missouri's actually not playing on SEC Network.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the first time I've seen it all year long. They're not playing on SEC. They're on CBS. Missouri versus Arkansas at War Memorial Stadium in Little Rock. You know, I've been to an Arkansas game in War Memorial Stadium in Little Rock.
Is that there, or is it? Did they move that?
That's what
back
it says here. So I mean, I'm just reading this off ESPN.
Yeah.
Does Arkansas still play? They
back play
in the day,
like
they play
two
like
games
half their
a
games
year.
There. Now it's just a couple.
They play a couple, and this
they don't do that anymore. This is surprising.
Well, what they set the thing up last year, it was supposed to be at Arrowhead. Remember, they were going to play a game at Arrowhead last year, and then it didn't happen.
This is the second part of that contract?
Because of COVID. So eventually they're going to get a game back at Arrowhead. But I thought I'd seen it was going to be in Fayetteville. I don't know.
I'm just reading off ESPN's menu here. It says War Memorial Stadium, Little Rock, Arkansas.
It reminds me of the Green Bay Packers used to play
Milwaukee.
Two or three games.
County Stadium.
Yeah, they play in Milwaukee. You think about Lambeau Field and how famous it is?
Yeah.
And it was the one NFL field that wasn't used for all eight games.
Because they had to go down to the big metropolitan area of Milwaukee to play a couple games.
And they literally had two of their eight home games. Well, this is the same way. Arkansas used to play games outside of Fayetteville and go to Little Rock and play a game or two.
So the game I went to at War Memorial Stadium in Little Rock, Arkansas, was in 1998. And Steven gets super mad. I don't get to talk about this on the show much when Steven's here because he hates this man so much that I'm told to shut up immediately. I was a massive Tennessee Volunteers fan as a kid because they were on TV all the time, the SEC, and I thought their bright orange uniforms were awesome. So when Peyton Manning was playing for Tennessee, I was in college at KU, and a couple buddies of mine came up to me and said, "Hey, Tennessee plays in Little Rock like this weekend, and we could. It's not that far of a drive. We could go down and watch Peyton Manning play his senior year at Arkansas." And I was like, why are they playing in Little Rock? And I went, well, they, at that time, they played like four games
yeah,
there.
Yeah, they played a couple. And this game, according to the game notes for both schools, I just looked it up, is actually in Fayetteville.
It is.
Yeah, so I think ESPN has that from they had a big press conference and said, we're going to do a game in Kansas City.
Okay.
We're going to do a game in Little Rock. And then everything, they probably moved it back to Fayetteville. I don't know if they've officially announced when they're coming back to Kansas City. Hopefully it's next year. You know, remember last year, it was going to be Missouri-Kansas basketball at Sprint Center. It was going to be Missouri-Arkansas football at Arrowhead, and that all got mixed up and messed up.
Well,
I'm looking forward to the game. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Missouri's
you were there. You was what great 1997.
1998. I was a.
You were 19. It was 1997.
Oh, 97. Yeah, because I graduated in 98, so it'd have been the spring. And, yeah, so
Peyton
yes,
Manning
fall,
was not there in 1998.
Yeah, 97. So
that.
You're right. Fall 97. I was just thinking of my senior year. I always think I graduated in 98.
Football
but
season.
That was
97.
Spring. So
see,
yeah, 97. Thank you for correcting me on that.
The KU guy doesn't think about football season. He thinks about.
Academic calendar.
Ask him about March.
Like, ask him who like Kansas.
That's the greatest thing right there. You say,
ask him who Kansas
year
lost
is it?
And I think in his senior year, and he'll tell you that.
Yeah. No, but I'm,
in basketball.
Like, that's funny because I do it by football. It's like, what year is this? This academic year, sports year. To me, it's 2021. To Nate, it's 2022.
Ask Nate who Kansas lost
right.
through your senior year in the basketball tournament.
Well, that was the year they lost to Rhode Island.
See,
Paul Pierce and
right
Ray Ferentz in the round of 32. They lost to that Rhode Island
it
team.
Was, the guys who was
Herrick,
the who was Rhode Island player, the Tyson Wheeler,
yeah,
and another dude who played in the league for
Catino
a while.
Mobley.
Catino Mobley,
yeah.
Anyway, this game,
but
Missouri.
By the way, I just want to say this: War Memorial Stadium. Not a fancy place at all. Very underwhelming stadium. I mean, there is nothing.
Reynolds Stadium in Fayetteville, very fancy. They have dolled that thing up.
Yeah.
It is
I was there
something.
Recently.
I mean, it is really, really an amazing looking place. They had a big construction project. They've circled the thing. And it's really SEC top-notch stuff. Arkansas had high highs this year early, right? They beat Texas. That was, you know, real big for them early. That was a big non-con game. But they haven't. I mean, I think they're probably where they belong.
They're 3-4 in the league. Both teams are.
They've done kind of what I would expect Arkansas to do. Missouri salvaged the fact that they were maybe looking towards not making a bowl last week. Let's first talk about beating Florida. Florida's not great, okay? Florida's a mess.
It's still Florida athletes.
It's still Florida athletes. But the call from Eli Drinkwitz to go try to win the game, did you immediately like the call? Of course you like it after it goes.
No, I love the call, but I don't think there should be any unusual credit given to it. I don't understand this. Tell me where I'm wrong here, guys. In the first overtime, it's regular football from the 25-yard line in. Each team gets one opportunity, and you can kick a PAT. The new rule this year, second overtime, you've got to go for two. You have to. So if you're the second team to score in the first overtime, why wouldn't you say
it's time
to do it now? I don't think anybody deserves any credit, Kansas or Missouri. It's the basic thing.
Right.
Why go to the next overtime if you want to win the game? And everybody wants to win the game on offense down.
But
age,
we've seen coaches still in the old thinking.
I know, but I give zero credit for
I'm
thinking
that
it's exotic. It's basic.
Yeah.
We just
I'm
haven't seen that many overtimes in college football.
Earlier in the year, Florida, and not in overtime, has got the big, nasty Alabama Crimson Tide in a game that they were losing. They go down and score, and they try to run a two-point play to tie the game up. And Dan Mullen, this offensive genius, comes up with a zone read play, which they've run 40 times in a game. That's what disappointed me sometimes about these coaches. I like that Eli Drinkwitz had an interesting play call. He said they work on play calls. Since the new rules, you've got to have 15 of these things.
Absolutely, because in the third overtime,
it's just
two-point conversion
that's
plays.
That's all it is.
That's all it is. Each team takes a turn at a two-point conversion, and there's only been three or four games this year.
The Illinois-Penn
State
game went nine overtimes.
Yeah, but
so they had seven times. It was a one-play overtime.
Exactly.
So you better have a cachet of these things.
And it's at the three-yard line.
Yeah, it's
and
not
the
just
NFL's
an easy
is a two.
Play. It's not
you remember
easy
that
play.
When you talk about this. But anyway,
I like
great
that
win
they,
for Missouri.
That they
great
came
win.
Up with a play that was creative.
And they executed it.
And they executed it.
And it's a week before Kansas did it. Night and day difference with those plays. Missouri just needed to find a way to beat South Carolina two games ago. I don't care how they do it, and they needed to find a way to win against Florida, and they're going to be fine. I think they're very dangerous against Arkansas. Missouri's been an underachieving team in my mind. They've been letting Beatty run the football. He's been awesome, but otherwise quarterback play has gotten shaky some question about should they even have Bazelak be the starting quarterback and continue throughout the game. All those things, just flush all the negativity away. When they won, they got a fresh mind right now. They know they're going to a bowl game. They know they got 15 practices after this game. And they normally do what? Beat Arkansas and the Friday
after
Thanksgiving.
This game is huge for Eli Drinkwitz. He's in Arkansas. Not native. I think he was born in Oklahoma, but 6 months. He's an Arkansas guy. That's where he's from. He loves rivalries. I've heard him more than one time talk about the Alma-Greenwood rivalry in high school, which is the part of the state he's from. He loves this stuff.
And he'll talk it up.
Oh, yes. He'll talk
when
it up.
When he went after Dan Mullen.
Yes.
After the, wow.
I mean, he's
that's
he's,
something.
He's in for this stuff. So I
May
think
the
this
force
is great.
Be with you.
And, you know, Arkansas was kind of wanting to possibly hire him, and Missouri got him. So this is going to be, as long as he's at Missouri, this is going to be a crazy special game for him. Now, it was one thing to do this in Columbia last year. It's another thing entirely to do it down there. He went to watch games at an old ratty Reynolds Stadium when he was a kid, right? He's sitting in the south stands or whatever he said. This is his childhood. So this will be a really special thing for him. I just don't think Missouri's quite as good as Arkansas. This is going to be a tough battle for them to go win this game. But you want to talk about, like, being able to rally the guys up? Drinkwitz is the guy to maybe do that. And they've got to
And Barry
have,
Odom's the defensive coordinator at Arkansas.
Yeah, so exactly.
There's a few of those Missouri players who know a lot about old Barry Odom.
And there's guys on, you know, on Missouri's team from Arkansas. There's a lot of that going on.
Last year was unbelievable. It was like
wild
modern football on steroids because everybody scored every time. Every play was like 8 yards, wasn't it? 50-48 or something like that.
Yeah, and a field goal to end to win it. I mean, so I think this would be a very fun game. But this would be, for Missouri, I mean, you know, neither one of these teams is going to go to the title game or whatever like that. But for Missouri, if they win this game, not only did they just squeak into a bowl, now they've won 7 games. They beat a rival. They've won 2 in a row, the bowl game, and all that stuff. Big four.
I just think after the way that Tennessee game went.
They'll have won 3 in a row if they beat Arkansas, right?
Yep, because they beat South Carolina.
That's a big deal.
4 or 5.
Yeah. And you go into a bowl game?
Yeah.
No, this is big for the program because Eli Drinkwitz, for the first time, has a little pressure from the Missouri fans. They loved him. They loved him.
Right. After that Tennessee game, everyone starts going, what's going on here?
Yeah, for the first time.
They looked like they quit in that game. I mean, I was watching that game, and I was actually listening to some of the game, too, and even the announcers were saying, like, where's the effort from this team? They look like they had, and they talk about the run game can take your soul away when somebody just runs the ball down your throat, and Tennessee just ran the ball down their throat all game. And then you fire the defensive line coach, and I thought to myself, okay, it's all great when you're the quick-witted guy in the press conferences and everybody loves you because you're making funny jokes and stuff like that.
And you're winning recruiting battles. That's fine. You're going to get these. Maybe these guys will sign, you know, that stuff.
But when something like that happens, that's when, like, the test comes in. Like, can you hold a program together when it's starting to fracture a little bit and all that stuff? And for them to be able to get back to the point where they're going to a bowl game, like you said, however good South Carolina and Florida are, they won those games. And look at Texas. All you have to do is look at Texas because that team did fall apart, right? Like they fell apart and just kept falling apart, and he didn't let that happen. And you have to give Missouri a lot of credit for that.
By the way, South Carolina just beat Auburn. South Carolina's okay. They're on the rise. They were rough early, and they're on the rise and,
getting eligible.
Better.
Yeah.
They needed to beat Vandy and South Carolina. They had to because those are the teams they were in the same little pot as in the standings, and they got both of those things done. Now, if you beat a team like Arkansas, who's in the tough division, right, and has battled and you know done some good things this year, you really can get it going. And they didn't go to a bowl game last year. They had things going on. If they go to a bowl game, this will be a team. Stan and I argue about bowls. They're great. Fine.
You don't go to them, so you don't know.
But if we always talk about motivation in a bowl game. If Missouri makes a bowl game, they will be motivated to win the bowl game. They will be absolutely like, that's when you're building a program, they would be like, because then it's like, oh, we won 8 games, we won a bowl, we got a trophy, all that stuff. They will be super motivated.
So I was actually thinking about that when you brought up the West Virginia game, because I think about it in the terms of like the NIT in basketball. And there are sometimes, I remember the Bob Huggins K-State team that was building something good. They got into the NIT, and then they made a run in it, and it was a big thing for them to get there because that group of guys felt like something that was the start of something. Then sometimes you get a team that, hey, we were supposed to be really good. We were supposed
Iowa State football this year.
You're supposed to go to the NCAA tournament. You're supposed to do all this stuff. And then all of a sudden, the kids start thinking about where they're going to go for spring break because they're losing a bunch of games down the stretch. And then all of a sudden, they're told they got to go to the NIT and they got to keep practicing their butts off and watching their diet and all that stuff. And they go, man, I don't want to do this. And and I wonder, are some bowl games like that, depending on where the team is? If the team's on the way up and they haven't been to a bowl game for a long time or whatever, like, say, Missouri, maybe they thought their season was on life support and now they got a chance to go versus a team, maybe like you said, like Iowa State or something. Is there a difference there from the way that players and teams react? I got another month of practice, or I get another month of practice, you know?
Well, there is, but not nearly as much as Todd tries to make it out. He acts like no one cares about a bowl, but he would have opted out like Christian McCaffrey.
No way!
20 years ago, you would have opted out.
I'll fight for my teammates. I'll fight for
them. No, 75% of the teams, or more, could go to 90%, but I'll be conservative and say 75% of the teams are happy they're bowl eligible. Because teams aren't thinking about making the college football playoff.
Well, the coaches are all happy because they want to
work. We talk about the elite national teams,
right?
But most of the college teams, even good ones, aren't thinking about playing in the college football playoff.
Yeah.
They dream somewhat of winning the conference championship, but usually that's not available because there's only five power conferences, and guess what? It's really hard to win the conference. So, yeah, Baylor and Oklahoma State are dreaming about it right now, but most teams, like West Virginia, getting to a bowl is a big deal. Getting to stay football active, there's nothing worse than turning the calendar to December and you're not allowed to be involved. You can't practice. And all your friends who you know are getting ready for bowl games, it's still football season, the pros are playing, and they tell you like you're some high school kid. No, put your equipment up, get ready for Christmas, I hope you buy a lot of good presents because you're done. No one wants that. So it's highly motivating. Now, when you get to the game, Todd says, depends on who's excited. That's in play, but more now because teams opt out.
Yeah.
You got your three best players don't play.
Yeah.
So, Todd, you're correct now. The 2021 season, 20, and I'll give you the 19. The last 3 years, the way teams opt out at the bowl game players, I'll agree with you that bowls become nothing like the regular season. But before that, I didn't buy into your thought process. Most teams came to play.
Yeah.
Most teams came to play.
Like, I always just think of like Alabama gets beat by Utah. Well, Alabama was ticked that they weren't in the big game. So,
Oklahoma with Alabama in a Sugar Bowl.
Right.
And that was not real news.
That was not.
You would say.
Yeah, it was because Alabama thought they were going to the national championship. They didn't, and then so Oklahoma beat them.
But the vegetable that we haven't named bowl game that everyone says who cares? I'm telling you, the players who play in it care.
Let me. I know my team would love to be in one.
Absolutely. Well, I think West Virginia too. That's why West Virginia is going to come to Lawrence ready to go because they made one last year and they won it. And look around. Neil Brown looks around the league and goes, well, I'm in the class of Les Miles, Chris Klieman, and Matt Wells, and there's only two of us left. I got to go make a bowl. You don't want to give a chance. Before we break, because we don't want to give too long to Gary Lezak. I know it's time to break, but let's not give him too long. Biggest game of the weekend is going to be Michigan-Ohio State.
That's the game.
Ohio State, I think, is playing great. They did lose to Oregon, right? They have crushed most of the bad teams they played. They had a close way against Oregon, but last week they were just on another level against Michigan State. Michigan is laying in wait here, but Michigan hasn't beaten Ohio State. This is not the John Cooper era, okay? This has been flipped the other way in the last 20 years. What chance do you give Michigan to take Ohio State out, give them their second loss, and they'll be toast in the playoff? At home.
Let's just quickly say, what should I say? First of all, should I say 40% chance, 35% chance? What would sound normal to you?
Well, the game, knowing the way this game has gone, I think it's 25.
Well, not skewing it too much. Just looking at the teams.
Well, looking at the teams, I think Ohio State's much better than Michigan.
Okay, and so do I.
Yeah.
So, like, we got a big game with Oklahoma State and Oklahoma, and a lot of times it's because they're records make it seem like it's a big deal, and I want to say it's a big game, but you go, oh, man, Oklahoma's better than Oklahoma State. That's not the case this time. OSU's legitimate. They're better than OU. Game after game, down after down, I think Oklahoma State's better than Oklahoma, so I'm excited about that game. The psychology and advantages Oklahoma have are still there. But this game, no, I can't build it up. Ohio State's better than Michigan down after down, and they win this game, right? Harbaugh can't beat Ohio State. I'll be so surprised if Ohio State loses this game. This does not have the intrigue that I wish it did in my mind. I'm just saying, unless I watch the game and at the end of the first quarter, Michigan's still around, or every minute they stay in the game, I'm going, good, I'm looking forward to it. I think Ohio State's going to win. I think they're better. It should be a mismatch.
Alabama's hanging out here. You know, they're going to play Georgia or whatever, but they're going to Auburn. Auburn's 6-4, okay? But Auburn is sneaky good on occasion. Any chance for an upset in the Iron Bowl?
Small, I would say maybe a little bit better than I give Michigan to beating Ohio State. I don't think Auburn's elite right now. That's the problem. But Alabama just gets full credit because they know Nick Saban and the boys will turn it on. But who have they beaten that just knocks your socks off? Why do we just keep advancing? They lost to Texas A&M.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so this Alabama team just gets a free pass to the championship games.
Any chance at all? You know a little bit more about East Carolina because I know you watched South Carolina, where your son is. They played them. Friday, another game Friday, Cincinnati's on the road. Cincinnati was great last week against SMU. They flexed their muscles. They're going to have Houston in their title game. But is there any fear being on the road at East Carolina on a Friday for Cincinnati?
A little bit.
Because they're top four now in the college football
playoff. Yeah, just playing with the mantra of being the favorite and having to put show points together is a weird way to try to win football games. So, yes, there's a little bit of danger. East Carolina's offense is very average. But I think they'll fight like crazy. They're on a national stage.
To spoil.
I mean, who's looking forward to watching East Carolina this year? They are now, right? I mean, people are actually going to watch a game. Do you know that East Carolina is in North Carolina?
I mean, I knew that.
Yes. I know, but a lot of people don't even know. Yeah. Why wouldn't you?
I thought it was another state.
Ben Franklin's
Stan,
president.
I hope. First of all, I just want everybody to know that by far the most entertaining part of the show for me so far today was looking at Drake's face as Todd Lebo proceeded to ask Stan about three more games after he told him to go to break. That's the kind.
I did not hear that in my ear. I want everyone to know. Yeah. I was not a part of this.
Nope. I'm done talking.
And Drake, is that right? Will you back me up on that?
Absolutely.
Sometimes I hear like break, and then I would have stopped. But
because
I didn't know. I didn't know where we were.
Now
this is a man trying to flex his muscle over Drake right here because he knows if he asks Stan, what about a football game, he's going to get a good answer. Stan, hey, have a great trip down to Austin. Enjoy your Thanksgiving, and I know you're going to be busy this weekend.
Well, happy Thanksgiving to everybody. I hope you enjoy it. I hope your family get together is one you enjoy, and not that you have to do. And especially for you, good luck painting everything, getting everything in order. And
I'll send you pictures.
You need to enjoy
field.
Some games.
I will. I will enjoy some football, and the Bucati Bowl will be the one that I enjoy the most. I'll be honest with you, right there.
What position do you play?
Well, the older I get.
Drake. It's break time.
Yeah,
I didn't ask him that question. We can do this off the air.
I play the position of doing what Drake says, which is take a break so we can get to Lezak on Sports Radio 810 WHB.